more about Jesus Christ, because he loves Jesus dearly also. It is my pleasure to introduce our speaker for the morning, our brother Rodney Brown.
Praise God. I was really grateful that he didn't say that I was going to sing as well, because I can't sing like Sister Lacretine. And the depth with which she sang, you know, I'm just praising God. Yeah. Praise God. You know, I didn't mind so much when Daddy Grant said he would have sung if the praise team didn't come. But when the praise team came, I was really glad he didn't. You know, I just praise. I'm just pulling his leg. I mean, we do that all the time. You know, he has permission to say whatever, to knock me whenever, whatever. He and, you know, others do that from time to time. You know, Brother Bonner isn't here this morning. He's right, good. Right. I want to bring my praise, or to offer praise and comfort to the families who are bereaved this morning. The Lacretines, I believe, yes. And the Macaulays. Brother Macaulay, some of you would know, he was used of God specially to bless us, in that whenever we were here in the USA, the Honda Odyssey would be waiting for us at the airport. And we would have that Odyssey for however long we needed it. He really had a big heart for the furtherance of the ministry. And so on behalf of Lydia, myself, the children, we really want to offer our comfort at this time as he has been promoted to glory. We want to just praise God. The Sutherlands as well, we offer our condolences too. I want us to please remember with Beryl. Beryl did a number on the dependencies of Grenada. Beryl did a number as well on the dependencies of St. Vincent. But Jamaica, she didn't forget Jamaica. South Jamaica. And I mean, it's nothing news, but I want us to remember our sister Thompson. Sister Thompson was talking to, Pat Thompson was talking to me a week and a half ago, and she was talking from darkness. She was sitting without power. She charged her phone at work. I want us to remember them as well. And Sister Dainty, happy birthday. You know, I remember those days with Brother... why am I forgetting Brother Hunt's name? Those days with Brother Hunt in, thank you, in Guyana. And happy birthday to all six people. I thought October was the month with the most birthdays, but they're creeping up, you know. We got to fix that. Okay, so couples, if you're married, we got to fix that. I have with me today my niece Naomi, and my daughter Rianne, you know, most times she's my daughter. But she ran away from home and came up here to study. She has one more semester at this level to do, and then she moves on to some really hard work, you know. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to minister to you this morning. Thank you for all the prayers from the saints at Good Tidings. Thank you for the support that we get from the saints of Good Tidings. We really, really say thank you. Lydia is at home. She's at camp. She was at camp last week. She'll be at camp this week. She's probably here on Zoom. I am not sure. But that's what she's doing. She really had to stay home this time because she needed a break. I want you to remember, please, our time at camp at home and Barbados. I'm moving to Barbados on Thursday, God willing, when Sister Dainty is going back home. I'd be going to Barbados to do camp there as well. I'm going to praise God. Let us save our country and our region through our youth. God has already prophesied what's going to happen to this world. So I'm not suggesting that something that what he has prophesied would not happen, that perilous times would not be upon us, that things would not wax worse. I am not suggesting that. But you see, in our own sphere of influence, our own tight-knit communities, our churches, I want to believe sometimes we can be insulated from some of it. So in that sense, I'm saying, let us save our country and our region through our youth. I have some good news. You know, I know we looked out there, and I know we look at social media. I know we look at the news, and I know we see some bad stuff. But I have some good news this morning. All is not lost. We can survive this as believers. We can survive this. I don't know where your mind is this morning, but there are so many issues that are killing our nations. They virtually have our countries and our communities in a stranglehold. Things like what? Like the murders? The guns? What else? Nothing else? Just murders and guns? Pardon? Drugs? I didn't hear that. The social media, improper use of the social media. Wars, corruption, poverty, sorcery. Human trafficking, unemployment. Anybody here unemployed and looking for a job? Anybody? One person is looking for a job. Just speak to Brother Grant and he would, Daddy Grant, he'd hook you up. I understand he's well connected. But we will pray for you. What's your name again?
Tony.
So we want to pray for Tony. Because Tony is looking for a job. I don't know why they're laughing at Tony looking for a job. But they know. Violence, rapes. These things are happening. These things are all bad news. These things are all crippling us. If we do not listen now, mark my words, these issues are going to damage us terribly. As a nation, and as a region, you felt Beryl was bad. You see these issues? And others, if we don't take heed now, this is going to be far more or far worse than we expected. I am pleased to announce again that we have good news. The solution has been in our faces for a long time. Hallelujah. I said the solution has been in our faces for a long time. Have you ever been looking for your glasses? I know Daddy Grant. No, oh, sorry, I'm picking on Daddy Grant too much. But again, we have that relationship. Yeah? But you have your glasses on your eyes and you're busy looking for your glasses. You can't find it anywhere. The solution, whatever, it's on your face, it's on your eyes. And it's like the solution to these things, they're right in front of us. Okay, Tony and the other young people lost. It's like, let me see if I can fix that. It's like talking on your phone, Tony. It's like when you're talking on your phone and something happens and you want to do something on your phone and you want to do something for the person who's talking to you on the phone and where's my phone? You know, I can't find my phone anywhere. The solution is right there in your hands. The thing that you're looking for is right in your hands. It's on your eyes. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 to 9, and we will look at that in a while. I'm trying not to get too excited about this because when I get too excited, I talk really fast and I talk Trini. And I know a lot of people here don't know Trini. Sister Anne, a lot of people here don't know Trini. Sister Denise, Sister, she'll understand me. But a lot of people don't know Trini. So I try to keep it down. Let us save our country and our region through our youth. And that's our proposition. That's where I'm going with this. So just in case somebody gets lost somewhere, note that what we're talking about here, what I'm going to is let us save our country and our region through our youth. You know, just before Israel moved into the land that was promised to them, God, through Moses, gave them some important instructions for their survival. They did not always adhere to it, and therefore they had a lot of trouble. Say trouble. They had a lot of bloodshed. Say bloodshed. They had a lot of death. Say death. Just like we do. You know, you would think that the main asset for national survival, or the solution to the issues that they had, was that God would give them, you know, through, or that God would help them through their government. You know, you would think the government was the solution. And the army, perhaps, was the solution. However, it had more to do with how their families raised their children. The solution had more to do with how the families raised their children. Are you hearing me? Good tidings. In the metropolitan area and our region today, we can apply those same instructions with the understanding that our greatest asset for national security and even regional security is our families through how we raise our children. Let us save our country. Let us save our community, our sphere of influence, our region through our youth. Let's read what God says. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. And by the way, I see it's 12 there. Is that the only time I have? Okay. Somebody said yes. Okay. But I have some good sources that have a little time left. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Wow. You got two lords there, boy. Just in case you missed it the first time. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And that's cross-reference to Matthew 22:37. Verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let us save our country and our region through our youth. 4 quick points. In fact, rather, 3 quick points and a longer one. One God, say one God. Complete love in your heart. Instill the word. Let's go with one God quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. That's where we got that from. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Let's first establish that God is one. Let us establish clearly that there is one God. I knew when I was growing up, there were several adults in my space. And some of them would tell me that everyone is serving the same God, but they are calling the God by a different name. I'm glad some people are reacting already. They say they are calling the God by a different name. But once that God does not include Jesus, once that God is not the God of the Bible, that God is not the God that is the true and living God. There is, and I make no apologies, there is one God. And it's the God of the Bible. So let's establish that very clearly. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you know this was clearly illustrated at the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many other illustrations, but that's one that, you know, stood out for me. Why did it stand out for me? Because there the Son was being baptized, coming up out of the water, and guess what? You heard a voice. Yeah, the Spirit, yeah. May not be in order. But the Spirit, in the form of a dove, landed on him. So that's two beings. And then, just when you thought that was it, you heard a loud voice. This is my beloved Son. So yes, it's three, but there is one. And if you're still having trouble understanding how three could be one, somebody said people going down for some mangoes in Jamaica. Who's going to Jamaica for mangoes? All right, make sure you bring him. Anyway, I'd probably be gone already. But you know, it's one mango, but you have something with, you have three different functions and three different entities. No, I'm not saying God is a mango. I'm not saying that. But you have a skin. You have the pulp that I know somebody here enjoys very much. Where is he? I'm looking for him. In fact, when I was in the car park there, I asked him if he had any mangoes. He said he forgot them at home. But there's the skin and there's the pulp. And then there's a seed. One mango. So there is one God. Three beings. One God. All equal. Another time we'll deal with that message. And the thing about it is, with people, people get so crazy. Sometimes they make something and they start to worship that. That's the God. They made their own God. Not everything people worship is God. I said, not everything people worship is God. Don't get tired. If we are going to save our country and our region through our youth, we must know that there is one God. That's the first step. Secondly, of 4 points, the second one is complete love. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. As I said before, cross-reference to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Heart, soul, strength. Heart there in this context, the original word being used, and in this context, I have to remember to stay near the mic. Heart there speaks of your actions. It doesn't always, when the English word heart comes up, it doesn't always speak about your actions. In this case, having looked at it carefully, it speaks about your actions. So you must serve the God with all your actions, all your heart, all your soul. Soul here connotes feelings. Are you with me? Soul, feelings, strength. The word was transliterated muchness. With all your muchness, with everything, with all your thoughts. This is what I got from this word here, rendered strength. With all your thoughts. So it may have been in the reverse sequence as to how things happen. Because the first thing that happens when you're going to change your attitude, or when you're going to learn something, or when you're going to change the way you operate, is your thoughts. So you get information. You take in information, and sometimes we are really good at giving and taking information, but it can't stop there. Because I remember, Arlene, you'd remember, we had a big tanker bean tree next to the church in Bellevue. I liked tanker bean, but the tree wasn't ours. Tony, the tree wasn't ours. So you know what we used to do? Now, we were told, and we knew, that's not something to do. But we still jumped the wall and go and thief Mr. King tanker bean. If you don't know what tanker bean is, ask Arlene. Ask Denise, is what they call you here? What they call? Okay, she said she have a secret name. Her mother's name is Denise, and I call her by her mother's name. Okay. So Arlene, all right. Grew up with her, you know, but still don't know the girl name. The thing about it is, we knew, they told us, in fact, oh God, Uncle Alva, Uncle Lennox, and Ty tell us to do that. You know, and Lennox Smith, I think Lennox Smith was around here, yes? Yeah, Ty tell us to do that. So we knew. The second thing we needed to do is have a feeling, have a change of feeling about it. But that didn't stop us. We went across and we regretted it. We should not have done that. We felt badly about it. But when your heart follows and your actions kick in, that is when you've learned something. That is when you've changed. So you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your actions, all your soul, your feelings, all your strength, your muchness, or your thoughts. If we're going to save our country and the region through our youth, we must show God complete love. When you do that, yes, you've shown him your complete love. Third point, in your heart. I am trying to just repeat what the word of God says. I'm sorry if I can't be fancy this morning, but I just want to repeat what the word of God says. And I want to keep doing that all the time. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. The first step in saving our land through our youth is deeply entrenching these principles in your heart. So if you are here this morning, or you are on the Zoom this morning, and you feel you want to influence your young people, your children, your whoever you have in your charge, the first step is to get him in your heart. The first step is to get these things that he said in your heart. You need to deeply entrench these principles in your heart. You must first know it and live it by confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved, and you would have taken the first step. I'm not just up here saying this because somebody asked me to come here and preach. This is serious, and this is life or death. Nothing funny about this. You must first know it as parents, as leaders, as guides. You must first know it and live it by confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, being saved. You know that when you go aboard an aircraft and they give you the safety briefing, before you help others, what do they say? Oh, help yourself. So put your mask on first. Put your mask on in this context. Put your mask on first. Give your life to God first. And then help those who depend on you. If you're going to save our country and our region through our youth, God's word must first be in your heart. Fourthly, and we'll take a little more time with this, instill the word. Deuteronomy 6, verses 7 to 9. You shall teach them diligently. How? How? Tony, you heard that? How? Diligently. He has a powerful voice, boy. This boy is going to be a preacher. You all watch it. And he has a male voice. Diligently. You know? You're right. Diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Wow. What to do? Teach them. Teach them how? Diligently. Praise God. If I had a little gift here, I would give it to somebody seeing that. Deliberately, intentionally, diligently. Stop hoping that they will pick it up somewhere else along the way. They won't. They will not pick it up somewhere along the way. But well, don't force the child, you know. You don't force the child. Let the child grow up and be whatever he wants to identify. I mean, what he wants to be. What she wants to be. No, that's not what this is saying. That's not what this is saying. This is saying be deliberate. This is saying be intentional with those children. Grandparents. I'm a bone to pick with some grandparents, you know. Let me leave that for another time, before. Stop hoping that they will pick it. And I know some parents know what I'm talking about already. Just say a soft amen if you know what I'm talking about. Stop hoping that they will pick it up somewhere along the way. They won't. Teach them what? That's it there. That's how, and that's good, and I'm happy that somebody remembers how. But teach them what? The Bible. Everybody seeing that? Is everybody seeing that, or have we fallen asleep on me? Everybody seeing what's up there? Teach them the Bible. Relearning, that's something I picked up some time ago. Relearning equals change. I said relearning equals change. So if you say you know how to do something, if you say you've learned something and nothing about you changes, you have learned nothing. The amount of people tell me I could cook. Turned out that they just knew recipes. They didn't know how to cook. They like me. They didn't know how to cook. Change. Change is evidence of learning. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, meaning that you make him your Lord, that you put him in charge of your life. This is serious. This is not just you come to church and everything nice and you're living good. This is something that you have to do as a result of his grace to you, he's offering you life. If you have never deliberately given your life to him, whether you're a parent or a youth or a child today, then you are on your way to hell. Could I say it any plainer? Now, mind you, I came up here, I preached my liver string out, as we say in Trinidad, at another place, not here. And I thought I was being very clear. Brother Wilson, after the meeting, these two adult men came for counseling. And in talking to them about other things, about other issues they had, I asked, are you saved? Brother Wilson, they told me, yeah, I was always saved. And, but after I stand up there and talk, only talk, how could you? So how were you saved? Well, I was always saved. I go to church, I pray, parent, that's what they tell me, you know. So I don't know how to be clearer. The Holy Spirit is going to have to, as he would, take over. I want to be clear with you, you know. Don't think you're safe when you're not safe. Don't think you're safe when you're not saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you believe and you are able to be credited with his righteousness. Without being credited with his righteousness, you can't be saved. Is that okay? All right. But you know, we bring them to Sunday school, VBS. We had VBS here, yes? We had VBS. It was great. Praise God. I had the honor of being in two VBSs while I was here. In fact, that is why I'm here. Yeah? So, after teaching them all these lovely things, and after reading the word for them at home and everything else that you're supposed to do, what's next? Practice. Say practice. They need now to apply it or to practice it. It's not enough to bring them to church. It's not enough to send them to Sunday school. It's not enough to read them the word of God. But you need to facilitate their practice. And very often that practice is facilitated by play. I may have told you this already. I may have told you about the games that our parents facilitated when we were younger, and I'm sure that wasn't just in Trinidad. When they practice, they learn honesty and fair play. They entrench that in them, and truthfulness. Arlene, you remember when they used to draw those boxes, and some of you remember the girls used to draw the boxes, and they draw four. It's about eight boxes there, and they had a tennis ball in their hand, but they had eight boxes in the form of a rectangle. You all know what I'm talking about? You see, people saying hopscotch. It wasn't hopscotch. That was something else. Moral, that's what it was. It's similar to hopscotch. And like hopscotch, oh my Lord. Yes, I was in the girl game too. I sold myself out. I had five sisters, so. Right. So they would draw those boxes and they would go bouncing the ball and somebody will step on the line. Tell me what happens when they step on the line. Somebody here. Quick. You're out. But then the girl said, no, I didn't step on the line. And then they would say, lift your foot up. And when she lifts her foot up, or he in the case of me, and you see the big line below the foot, you lied. You did not speak the truth. You are cheating. The word of God says, speak the truth. They are learning through play. Through what we taught them in the playtime that we may have had in VBS, the playtime that we have in camp at Pine Bush or at New Horizon or those other camps, the sports time that we had is not just for fun and games. That's the entrenched what they learned in chapel. That's the entrenched what they learned from the word of God. Our parents were so smart. I didn't realize that they were having us learn things when we were out there. And mind you, if you thought you was alone when you're playing in the yard, they had eyes all around peeking through the windows. You know, that we weren't aware of. Ensuring that we learned the things that we needed to learn. Honesty, fair play, consistent with the scripture, truth. Teach them respect and regard to honor the aged and the parents and people's property. This is what the word of God teaches. So, practically, this couple had their aged father living with them, but they also had a child. And the father would sit at the table and he would be really messy. Because he couldn't, you know, shaking hands and everything, he'd be messy. The parents decided, we are going to put him on a table by himself and give him a wooden spoon. You see what's going on there? One day, let me be careful what name I call. Little Tommy was in the yard and he had a piece of wood in his hand and he was whittling away at the wood. Some of you know where I'm going with this already. He was whittling away at the wood. What was he doing? Yes. So didn't he understand? Long time. Daddy asked, what are you doing, Tommy? He said, oh, I'm making a spoon for you all when you get old. So didn't he caught it a long time. So we need to teach them in a practical way what the word of God says. To honor their parents. We need to teach them by what we do to honor your parents. Family relations. Spouse, siblings, parents, children. We need to teach them to value those relations and to love their brothers. You need to teach them to really have that love relationship. And oh boy, did my parents teach me to love. When they give you something, they expect that you will share it. They're not going to hold it and say, well, you take two, you take... They give you, they give one person, and they expected to share it. But I got the pack of nuts first. And Daddy Grant, I hid it away. Yeah. I hid it down, and we used to have closed barrels. So the barrel had closed because we didn't have enough, you know, wardrobes and that kind of stuff. I hid it down in the barrel. And Mommy asked, Michelle, did you get some? No, I didn't get any nuts. Sharia, did? No, I didn't. Rodney, where are the nuts? I eat it. Yeah, and she knew what the word of God said. And she also knew the word of God said, if she spares the rod, she hates her son. She knew that. So eventually, after asking about four times, she got the rod. Because I could not eat it so fast. And every time she asks, I eat it. Whoop, whoop, where are the nuts? I eat it. Whoop. No, in my mind, I would take all the licks. When I'm finished them licks, I'll go and nurse my welts, and I'll be eating nuts and nobody else could. You know? But you wouldn't know it. Anybody has little sisters here? My little sister went down to the barrel and got the nuts. After I got all that licks, and then I got none. That was a practical lesson as to what you learned in church. You don't just teach them the word by reading the word to them. You teach them the word by practically causing them to practice it. Conscience. Fathers, instill consciences within the child. So that the child would know that, hey, if there's somebody coming after me, I ought to leave the toilet clean. There's somebody coming after, so I need to think about them. If I'm playing on the floor with my toys, I need to move them because granddad might pass and step on them and trip. So I need to instill a conscience. That's how I instill a conscience in them. You need to practically do this thing. You need to do this thing diligently. Boundaries. So they understand the boundaries that parents are setting for you. You understand boundaries for people outside of the home. You understand those boundaries. So you can step beyond the boundary or allow one of the neighbor's children to come and step beyond the boundaries of the family. You couldn't do that. Italics and that. You have boundaries. So that she or he learns that people have boundaries. People have boundaries. I myself, he or she learns that I myself have boundaries. And then there is, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, that's good. You're made in the image and likeness of God. That's good. But then, you need to practice and show them. Self-esteem is something that they need to have. They need to know who they are. In God's eyes, they need to know who they are. They need to know that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Stop drilling in their head that they're ugly and they're stupid and they're good for nothing. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know nobody here does that. But you may know a friend who does that. The Word of God says something different from, if you're doing that, the Word of God says something different about those children. It says they are heritage of the Lord. And happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. So you need to apply the word discipline. Discipline, there's something called discipline. It isn't always punishment. The first wave of discipline is congratulating the child. Is showing, is comforting, is cuddling, is hugging, is kissing. That's the first stage of discipline. Then there might be things like verbal reprimands. That's discipline. Then there might be things like withholding privileges or whatever. That's part of it. And let me just say this, eh? The Word of God says, correct your child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. That's not me. That's the Word of God. But guess what? I agree with it. Because I see the difference it made in me. You all would not have liked anyhow. Discipline, important. Love, selflessness. Don't go and unleash your child, your offspring, that grows up and links with somebody else and marry somebody else. Please don't unleash something that is not what it should be on somebody else's child. Raise your children properly. Raise them on God's word. Raise them on God's word so that they will be selfless when they get into that marriage relationship. So that they will care about the other person. Because that is the word of God, 1 Corinthians 13. Entrench it in them. Too many times, we see people get married and they complain bitterly. I'm a marriage officer. I'm a marriage counselor, so I know. And the root cause of, if not all, 90-something percent of the problems is selfishness. You're abusive, you are being selfish. You're holding on to the money and not giving, you are being selfish. You want all the money so your husband can get none. You're being selfish. You're withholding yourself from your spouse, you are being selfish. What are the problems you have in marriage? What problems you have in marriage? What issues you have in marriage that has nothing to do with selfishness? You don't want to talk when you come home in the evening because work was real hard and I want to just rest. That's selfish. You don't want to listen when your spouse come home after work and talking to you and oh gosh, I hear enough of that. That's selfish. Communication. Almost anything I could have The root of it is selfishness. Don't, please, let's teach our children from the word of God. Let's bring them upon God's word. And let's show them an example. Apply this when you are in church. Did the word of God just say that? Apply it when you're sitting in your house and when you remember that list? Apply it when you're in church.
Get control of the child now. So the preacher preaching and the child running up the aisle, running around the preacher and running back down. And mommy is like, I'm able. That is like, oh gosh. Yes, yes, yes.
No!
Discipline the child.
Discipline the child. When they're traveling, she should not be standing and jumping up and down in the Uber seat. Or the bus seat. No! The word of God encourages you to train up that child. At school. Well, if you're in Trinidad and the teacher discipline that child, very likely, perhaps reducing now, hopefully, the teacher discipline the child, you will have none of it as a parent. So you come in for the teacher, you discipline my child? That doesn't happen here. Nah. Nobody gets any lawsuits for interfering from disciplining children and so on. That does not happen. At school, yes. At the supermarket, favorite place for misbehavior. So, there's this here, and there's that here, and it's like, mommy, I want that. No, you can't. I want that. Okay, take it. Mommy, I can get this. Sometimes you can't afford it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need to say no. And this is what the word of God is saying here in Deuteronomy. Devotions at night, devotions in the morning. Did it say that right here in Deuteronomy? So you give them the groundwork for what they are supposed to do? Let them see it in your hands. The word of God. Let them know it's in your head between your eyes. Let them know it's there. Post it in your home. Post it. And if you have any problems with that, you go to Mommy Grant and she will give you some things to post. Did I put you in trouble? Right, she'll give you some things to post in your home. Good. Post it in your home. If we are going to save our country and our region through our youth, God's word must be instilled in them. Let us save our country and our region through our youth. Raise them on God's word. May God bless you with these few thoughts for his name's sake. Amen.